You're listening to the Simple Pen Podcast, Pinterest for business advice that goes down smooth and easy. Here's your host, Kate All.
Hey there, welcome back to another episode of the Simple Pen Podcast. Today we are going to be talking about branding and why you need a well-branded website for success, especially on Pinterest. So what we do is we go through this idea of what even is branding. And then we talk about the elements of, you know, the tools you use, the colors, the fonts, but we also talk about brand identity, why it's really important for your brand to have a feel and a way that people can interact with it that makes it memorable. And then at the end, we talk about the importance of homepage. So important for you to touch on this because of the way idea pins are changing. So in the episode, I let you know we're going to be talking about it at the end, just because that was a really good bookend to all the pieces that we've talked about, which even include a little bit into site speed, my struggle with squishing images on websites, on my website, and then accessibility. So before we dive into this, I want to tell you, if you don't know, because I know a lot of podcast listeners just listen to the podcast and they don't go to websites. I do the same thing all the time. But I want to let you know, on simplepinmedia.com, we have so many resources, including the Simple Pin Collective. So the Simple Pin Collective is our membership community for those who want to go deep into Pinterest marketing. You know, it's an important part of your business. You need to invest in it, but you want to have coaching and training and action items that help you continue to move your business forward using Pinterest. So I'll let you know that a long time ago, I had a course and I taught Pinterest marketing in a course model. But the problem was that Pinterest changed all the time. And there were these constant updates, and I felt really frustrated that I didn't get to connect with students. I didn't get to go deep on, hey, Pinterest changed today. Does your app look the same? Or where are you struggling with your images? Let's give you feedback so you can really get more clicks. So inside the Simple Pin Collective, which again is a membership, you pay a monthly fee to join, you get a complete learning library of understanding the basics of Pinterest and some advanced tactics. If you don't see a learning library video in there that you want, tell us. We'll create it for you. And then what we have is we have a community. We have it both in our Kajabi forum, but we also have it in a Facebook forum. So if you're one of those ones who's ditched Facebook, we still have a place for you to ask questions. We have mentors with specialties in certain strengths that range from food blogging to e-commerce to being a service provider. We'll get you the answers you need right away. And then we talk about Pinterest trends and updates, strategic planning, images, and even more. And the last and probably my most favorite part is the Q&A coaching call that I do twice a month. This is where we talk for an hour. It's jam-packed. You ask me questions, you get answers immediately, and then we troubleshoot for you. We don't just troubleshoot whether or not your image needs to be changed, but we really talk about the heart behind your marketing and your marketing message of Pinterest. I would love for you to join this community and follow us on this journey so you can take what you're learning here in the podcast and really level it up to the next level, so that as Pinterest iterates into something new, we can help your brand adjust with some of those changes so you're not frustrated or pulling your hair out. So go to simplepinmedia.com/collective. Again, that's simplepinmedia.com/collective. And that's going to take you to the homepage where you can learn all about the Simple Pin Collective. If you're a fact finder like I am, you have a lot more questions. So you can go over there and you can see what it is that's inside the Simple Pin Collective. Again, it's $97 a month. Sometimes we run sales, so you just never know if you're going to happen upon a great sale, which is why you should join our email list too. So for all the links I'm going to be talking about today In addition to the Simple Pin Collective and Simple Pin Media, go to simplepinmedia.com/257. Okay, with that, let's dive into my episode with Madison and all about branding and how you can make sure that your brand has an identity that stands out. Hey, Madison, thanks so much for joining me on the Simple Pin Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to dive into this conversation.
Me too. And we've been talking, as all great podcasters do, before the podcast starts, and you get like down the road and you're like, okay, we're this is going to be great. So for everybody, I intro'd this for sure, but we're really going to go deep into branding. And I really want you to be hearing this through a lens of either you're totally new to branding or you are needing to refresh your branding. But at the end, we're going to talk a lot about the importance of your homepage, which has risen in importance again, especially with idea pins linking to the main homepage of your site, not directly on Pinterest. So don't go out there and check, but through your profile. So before we dive into the nitty gritty, Madison, tell us all about who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So my name is Madison Wetherill and I run Grace and Vine Studios, which is a web design business and studio for food bloggers primarily. And we primarily work with food bloggers who are looking to kind of take their business to the next level. They have, you know, seen success in figuring out how to rank on Google, how to do well on Pinterest, and they're really trying to figure out long-term what their business is going to look like. And then we help come alongside them to create a brand and a website that reflects that. So that's a little bit about what we do. I live in Arizona with my family and pretty much just try to be outside whenever I can, whenever I'm not working. So that's kind of the short and sweet.
And when it's not 120 degrees.
Exactly.
Because that's what I always picture.
That's okay.
Right. Okay. So let me talk a little bit about like why and how you kind of came to love web design and branding. Like what sparked it for you?
Yeah. So it's a curvy story, as I think a lot of entrepreneurs have kind of that story of how they got started. But the short and sweet version is that I went to college for graphic design. And after I graduated, I found that now all of a sudden I had a typical corporate job. I was working 40 hours a week and I was really bored because I had done so many activities in high school and college. And then to have just 40 hours a week that was dedicated to work, I was like, what am I going to do with my free time? And so I decided to start a blog. And this was back when, you know, blogging was still kind of like LiveJournal, where it was kind of you just telling your life story and really building community around blogs. And at the same time, I also started an Etsy shop doing design. Fast forward a few years, I really honed in and rebranded my then lifestyle kind of everything goes blog to a food blog and really started to get intentional about working with clients that were needing branding, some web design stuff and things like that. And most of my colleagues and friends were food bloggers. And so I kind of started just niching down to that. And eventually I came to a point in my personal life where I had two young kids and I really needed to make a decision about where I wanted to focus my time for my business. And at the time, I really just felt this push to go all in on my web design business. And I found that for a lot of food bloggers, there was not a lot of education out there around things like building your audience, creating your brand, how to design a web page that is strategic and beautiful and connects with your ideal audience. And so I went all in on that side of the business and kind of, I won't say I never looked back, but it's been a really interesting journey since I did that about 3 years ago. And I've just loved being able to really dive in and really just serve food bloggers.
I like meandering stories. They're good. And yes, we all have them, which is creates the character for what we do. So I want to ask like a super basic question that I think will help give us a really good foundation for this episode, which is when I say the word branding, how would you describe that to somebody who's like, I don't even know what you mean by branding? So what would you say branding means to you?
I think the first thing that most people think of is the visual side of a brand. So if you close your eyes and you visualize Target, you know, you're imagining their logo, but you're also imagining what the store looks like inside. You're imagining all of their, you know, end caps on the aisles and things like that. Maybe you're imagining the red carts and pushing your red cart with your Starbucks cup in it. And so that's sort of really one part of it is the visual side. But what really comes before that and what makes a brand really intentional and strategic is really the brand identity, which is things like who is your target audience that you're talking to? What are your brand values? What is really the brand messaging behind what you do? And for a lot of content creators, it's going to be a lot of a reflection of who you are that comes out in those things that you're doing. And so really, when you think of branding, it's sort of the holistic view of what a company or a person is in terms of both visual identity, the logo and the colors and the fonts, as well as sort of their values and their messaging and kind of what they do and who they do it for.
So then when you work with people right at the get-go, do you start with that visualization, like trying to draw out from people what they're thinking of? Or do you find that people have a really hard time with that because they just go straight to fonts and colors?
So we do a little bit of both. I have found that some people are super visual and can be really creative. They can go to town creating like the Pinterest board of their dreams of what their brand is going to be like. And then for other people, they're really struggling with that visual side, but they can tell you, this is who my ideal audience is. This is who I'm talking to and how I can help them. And so we kind of attack our brand strategy process from both sides sort of at the same time. And what that does for us is it kind of gives us a view of what our clients are looking for visually. And when I say visually, I'm really looking for less of fonts and colors and more of what does your brand feel like? When I look at your brand, what am I going to experience as the person on the other side? So is your brand like super summery and cheery with bright colors? Or is it more like calm and moody and maybe reminds me more of winter, that type of thing? And so really just coming at it from both sides can be really helpful because most people fall to one side or the other in terms of what they're able to figure out. But I have found that in people who kind of try to DIY their branding or kind of try to skip over will go straight to the fonts and colors, but will find in a year's time or more that it just doesn't feel right, but they can't really explain why.
That's a good point. I am prone to be the DIYer because I think like, oh, I can just do this. It's just about fonts and colors. But I think to your point, it's the feel and what you want people to walk away with understanding about your experience and the feel of it. So I have to ask this because you said it. Do you use Pinterest boards with your clients to help identify the feel and the look and what stands out to them?
Yeah, we do. Absolutely. So we kind of guide them through what we're looking for. And really, I'm telling them to just go search on Pinterest and look for things that you're attracted to, things that just kind of call to you for whatever reason. And usually it starts with kind of a chaotic board of, I don't know, maybe 20 to 50 images. And then they'll kind of go in and refine it. And they'll go through and remove the things that don't fit as well. And then when we look at it, we're really looking for like, where is the common thread? Where are we seeing, you know, patterns? Maybe it's a sweater that has like a really chunky knit pattern, or maybe it's like a really fun summery dress. So it's a mix of images, not just images that represent specifically what you do. It could also be like interior design. But we actually really try to keep them from pinning anything that is like, I love this person's logo. We do have that conversation separately. But what we're really looking for is the non, you know, visual logo font color type of thing. And then usually the colors and the fonts and just the overall vibe of the brand can be pulled from that Pinterest board once it feels like it's really curated.
So then I have to ask, are there colors that you should avoid using in your brand?
There isn't a general rule. Like it's not like nobody should use yellow in their brand, but there are definitely colors that should be avoided for certain brands. One other huge thing to think about when it comes to colors is accessibility. So what that basically means is for anyone who is visually impaired and is looking at this, happens to be more of a website thing, but if they're looking at your website and it's all like super light colors, it can make it really hard to read for somebody who is visually impaired. And so, you want to really be paying attention to contrast. And the reason I say it doesn't apply as much to a logo is because a logo is an image, it's typically going to have alt text. So it doesn't have to have the same level of accessibility that a font would, because the font has to be a certain, you know, color level for people to be able to read it. But yeah, generally, it really comes down to like, what type of brand do you have and who your audience is and like what you're doing as a brand. And that will help you to decide which colors are the best fit for your brand.
That's really good to hear, because I think I usually start with like the color piece of like, I love this color. Let's build out from there. But it's just so much more. And to your point about accessibility, I think that is becoming so much more important for our websites. And I know we are mid process of overhauling a lot of that stuff and kind of doing those checks and balances. So that's a really good reminder there. So tell me about fonts. I know for us, we definitely have told people, especially for Pinterest images, remember that people are reading on their phone. Like if they can't read it or it's super scripty, then they can't, you know, they obviously can't read it. So what's your thoughts on choosing fonts or like maybe some pitfalls that people can run into when it comes to that?
Totally. So the first thing I was thinking before you even said it was script fonts. As a designer, I love script fonts. I think they can be really, they can be awesome to add to a brand to give it some personality, but we always call those our accent fonts. So those are not our main font. We're not going to be spelling out a headline in a script font. So when it comes to fonts for your website, it is very similar to Pinterest, where you are looking to have fonts that are very legible, which is typically going to mean that they are not as fancy. We're looking for fonts. They don't have to be, you know, the Arial and Helvetica, like the system fonts. We don't have to go that sort of stark, but we just want to use fonts that are really easy to read. And, you know, this is a really great test if you want to get somebody who is not maybe your age, maybe someone who's older, to look at it and say, like, can you read this? Actually, my husband is notoriously that person for me, not because he's that much older than me, but because he's just very picky about script fonts. So I always show it to him and I'll say, what do you think? And he's like, I can't read it. And that's my test. I'm like, well, then we can't use it, because most people are going to be, they're going to lean more towards the side of not being able to read it than people who can. And there's a whole host of other, you know, factors in there. But another thing to remember with fonts too is simple is better. And if when it comes to Pinterest images or when it comes to your website, especially if you're doing it on your own, I wouldn't recommend more than two fonts. You can sort of get away with three, but I think you have to have a really strong eye for design to do that. So if you can stick to one or two fonts on graphics, whether that's for Pinterest or for anything else you're doing, it's going to go a lot further in being able to be read and being able to be more impactful as well.
Very interesting. Okay, so jumping to images. So this, I remember, I'm trying to put myself in my shoes back when I started my website. And I was thinking of images, and there was a few things that came up for me. It was, okay, how do I design like a text box image, you know, that just shows where somebody goes. And then there's this idea of like a human side of it, like pictures of me. And I would say like, I just hired somebody to do, you know, a profile image. And then later down the line, we've hired somebody to do more branding images. But what would you say in that is people's like kind of biggest hurdles or mistakes you see people making when it comes to selecting the images that go on to the website or even trying to create them themselves just from Canva?
Yeah, I think this issue, I think, pertains a lot more to people who are in industries where they're not taking the photos. So for bloggers, you know, for food bloggers or DIY bloggers, you are taking most of the photos that you're going to be using for your Pinterest graphics. But for people like for you, Kate, and for myself in more of like a service-based business, we're having to come up with images to use. And so I think one of the biggest issues I see with people creating images is just a lack of consistency. So oftentimes, if you don't have that strong brand identity or a strong branding, you know, the visual side of your branding, it's really tempting to try different things. And experimenting can be great, but you want to be consistent with what you're using. And that can be from the fonts and colors to the image styles that you're using. You can obviously use different images. Don't use the same image for everything, but you don't want to have just this wide array of images that, you know, you're pulling a landscape image for one Pinterest graphic. And then the next one, it's like a picture of someone's desk with a coffee cup. You want to be kind of consistent in the visual tone of your brand, and stock images are really great for that. There's a lot of great websites for that, for finding images. And again, once you have a really good grasp on your color palette, you can find images that sort of pull that color palette naturally. Again, sticking to images that sort of reflect your brand rather than taking something like super bright when your brand is more like soft palettes and neutrals. So yeah, hopefully that answered kind of a couple of questions in there.
No, it did. And actually, as you were talking, you said that word brand identity, and I kind of hooked on to that a little bit. What it makes me think of is I hear all these people saying, like, I'm going through a site rebrand, or I'm changing up these things about my brand. As you create these websites for people and branding, is it pretty common and normal for people to go through a rebrand at some point, even if, you know, I know some people change, you know, the names of their website and it's like completely one to the other. But is that something we can expect in this lineage of our business, is that we might, our brand identity might change as we go along? And what are some things, I guess, that you've seen from your experience as to how people move through that process?
Yeah, absolutely. I think generally speaking, when we're working with our clients, they're not necessarily having this 180 of, you know, I was a vegan food blog and now I'm going to start a DIY scrapbooking blog.
Keto, meat.
Yeah, right, or it's, something it's like not that. One of those that's it's totally out of left field. But what generally happens is there's just a lack of confidence and clarity in the brand identity before you really invest in the process of working on your branding and logo design or your website. And for our clients, we always start with brand identity before we get to the website design, because it's so important to have that clarity and that foundation before you ever start thinking about, like, what am I going to put on my homepage, or what type of blog post am I going to be working on this next quarter? So that's a huge change that we see in our clients. And typically what's happening is they already know what that brand identity is. They just haven't put all the pieces together. And so we're kind of helping them to put those pieces together to create that solid brand identity, so that when they're going to pick out an image for Pinterest, they can easily decipher which one feels more in line with their brand versus which one feels out of left field. Something else that I think our clients struggle with a lot is really who they're talking to. And I know actually when you were on my podcast, we talked a little bit about like finding your person on Pinterest and things like that. And I think it's just one of those mysteries of having a business that there's so much guesswork that goes into it that you never feel quite sure that you know who you're talking to. But for our clients, it's really just honing in on like, who is this person? You know, if you had to visualize who this person is, what exactly do they, maybe what they look like, or maybe what is their lifestyle like? What is their family dynamic like? But ultimately we're trying to dig into what are they struggling with? And therefore, how can you be the person to help them in that struggle? And really, like, if I had to sum up what your brand identity like comes down to, like, that really is the core foundation of it, is who are you helping and what are you helping them with? And everything else is just the supporting elements around that. But that really is the foundational piece, that once you get that part figured out and get that part right, everything else really becomes so much easier to decide.
Yeah, that's a great point there. So to that point too, of supporting elements, let's say you've built the website, we have the great branding. There's been a lot of conversation around, you know, mobile friendly and site speed. In fact, here at Simple Pin, we are working feverishly to try to continue to improve our site speed along with accessibility, which we touched on a minute ago, and then this whole mobile idea. So what would you say as far as when you guys are, if you finished up the brand identity and you're kind of putting these pieces into play, what are just a few things that you think about when it comes to site speed or mobile friendly?
Yeah, this is such a complicated topic. And I think, you know, it's one of those ones that I wish I could give you, like, here's the three things you need to do and you're going to be golden. If it was that easy, then there wouldn't be people.
I feel that way about Pinterest. So yeah, exactly. You just summed it up right there.
Exactly. If site speed was that easy, then no one would have to figure it out. But a couple of things that play a huge factor into site speed are themes that are well done. Basically, there's definitely pre-made themes out there that are designed for site speed and they're optimized for site speed. Unfortunately, most of them are not. And so there is kind of some additional work that has to be done. But from a content creator perspective, one thing that you can do is always making sure that your images are small file sizes. And for my food bloggers listening, I know that this is hard for you, but your images will probably look a little bit grainy once they're optimized on desktop, but that's okay because most people are not on desktop and most people don't care about your images as much as you do. So as long as it looks good on mobile and it obviously is not distorting the image itself, then it's better to have a fast loading site than it is to have a perfectly crisp, high resolution image, because for content creators, you know, you have 5 to 10 photos on every single blog post. And that takes a lot of time to load, especially if someone is loading your site not on Wi-Fi. And I think this is one of the hardest things for us as business owners to wrap our head around, is that most people are not as familiar with how to interact with a website, or how to, you know, even using a website on a computer. Like, most of us do that as business owners, but the general population does not. And so removing yourself from the way that you interact with your website is so important when you're thinking about either site speed or mobile, because most people are not going to see your site the same way that you do. And you really want to optimize it for that person who's looking at it.
Great point. Yeah, I think that's, we were just having that discussion here about, you know, I will admit, I am the worst about uploading images to the website and not smushing them or squishing. We use that one, squish or whatever. And so I was talking to the team about, can we just install a really great plugin that just covers my mistake? Because every time I upload one that's too big, I get a call out from Natalie, our operations manager. And she's like, can you change this image? So I understand what you're saying. And I only do one image. I can't imagine 5 to 12, but you make a great point about how people who are interacting with our website, especially if you're a food creator, they are not thinking about all those other things. They are just getting straight to the recipe, straight to the instructions. How can I get to this? And we want to make that as great as possible. Plus, you know, we want to serve Google at the same time and make sure that it increases our rankings there. So I hear you. I hear you. Okay. So one of the things we talked about in the beginning when we started was this importance and renewed importance of the homepage, especially as we see Pinterest really changing with idea pins. And for those who don't know, at the end of an idea pin, Pinterest puts a card there that says to follow, and it links your profile. So then what happens is that people go to your Pinterest page and they click on your URL to try to find what it is that you were talking about. And we've even said to have people put on their idea pins some calls to action about go to SimplePin, search SimplePin Media keyword, and you'll find it. So it's a little bit of a different way to get to your website, but we've started thinking about homepage and especially having search on there. So tell me a little bit about what you're seeing and how you're starting to see the homepage differently than maybe how we saw it 2 years ago.
Absolutely. So I have heard a lot of talk about this as well. And we've had a ton of people reaching out to us saying, you know, I've heard one of two ways. One is, all of a sudden my homepage is getting a lot of traffic and I don't like the way that it looks and I want to redesign my website. The second side is, I've had people come to us and say, I know that the homepage doesn't really matter. Like, people say it doesn't matter what it looks like, but it matters to me. And I love when people say that, because I can very quickly relate and say it does matter. And I totally get you feeling that way. But when it comes to your homepage, I always love to first think about why someone is landing on your homepage. And typically speaking, you know, kind of taking the Pinterest, the idea pins that you were just talking about out of the equation, typically when someone lands on your homepage, it's because they have already been on another blog post on your site. And they're clicking to your homepage because they want to know what the site is all about. And so they're clicking over to look and see, like, what is the site about? Who runs this site? You know, maybe they're looking for kind of related content to whatever it was that they landed on that blog post. And, you know, typically when they come from that blog post, they're a new person to your site. So they've come either from Pinterest or from Google to your blog post about, you know, whatever recipe or post that it is. And then they're going to the homepage to see what's next. And so a couple of sort of must-haves for me on the homepage is your most recent posts, because that is something we have found that most users are looking for. That's part of what they're looking for when they're trying to say, you know, what else is on this site for me? The second is a place where someone can get to know a little bit about you. This is not a place for your, you know, your resume or anything like that, but it's just a little bit of an insight into who you are and why you have this blog. So sort of that brand messaging piece that I talked about earlier. And then finally, some sort of call to action. So that's kind of your opportunity to be able to get someone either to dive into more content or to subscribe to your email list so that you can continue to nurture that relationship. And you already mentioned actually the other thing that I would say is a must have, which is search functionality. And really that should be on every page of your blog. It should not just be on your homepage, but because a lot of people are landing on that homepage and trying to look for something else, making sure that the search is really easy to find on there. And even having it a few places on the homepage can be really helpful to help people find what they're looking for.
Yeah, great call out. Well, man, there's a lot of things here that we've talked about that have been really helpful and hopefully will inspire people with the beginning of their branding or maybe even changing their branding because they DIY'd it and they didn't take a lot of these things into consideration. So tell people where they can go to connect with you and learn more about what you teach or even offering any more tips to them.
Absolutely. So you can always go over to graceandvinestudios.com, and that's where you can really learn about how we work with clients. We have a couple of different offerings and how we partner with our clients to kind of take their brand and their website to the next level. I also have a podcast. So if you obviously you're a podcast listener, so if you are interested in learning more about web design, branding, strategy, all of those types of things from the lens of a food blogger, then I have my podcast called The Vine Podcast. And you can also check out my interview with Kate when she talked about Pinterest over there. And in terms of social media, the best place to connect with me is over on Instagram. And I'm over there at Grace and Vine.
Perfect. We will put all those in the show notes, which you can find at simplepinmedia.com/257. And make sure you look up Madison and all that she teaches and her podcast too as well. And yeah, we had a great interview together. So go catch that as well. Thanks so much, Madison. I really appreciate you taking the time today to walk through this. And we look forward to connecting with you more in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Kate.